This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Jill and Carlos with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. We have just listened to what can only be described as a cracking track. It's called Pixophony, I think, and it's by a band out of Sydney called, and you pronounce it Q, but it's actually spelt K-Y-U. There you go. Thanks to the Been There, Done That team for another great show. How are you tonight, Carlos?
I'm really well, Jill. That was actually an excellent track, I have to say.
Thank you.
I was a bit unsure when it started, but
I know.
You know, it got better.
Tell me. I know. Lots of drumming. I'm loving the drumming. Now tonight, Carlos. Tonight show, Carlos.
Yeah. What do we have tonight, Jill?
We have a myriad of possibilities. We will be having a chat with Sian Siddall, who is the fundraising coordinator at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. But we will also be looking at a few newsy items, and we'll also be letting you know about some events and happenings around town. So make sure you have pen and paper handy for that one. But as always, Carlos, as always, we love to hear from our listener. So how can our listener get in contact with us?
Well, you can call us on 1300-JOY-949 or email us onair@joy.org.au in the studio, or send an SMS 0427-JOY-949.
Now news. Carlos, let's make it sound like we're newsreaders and shuffle the news, which is what Jason makes me do. I don't quite understand what the effect is. Now, a certain news item that came out of The Age, actually, of all places. Can you believe it? There was an article, I think it was on Tuesday, and health authorities in South Africa, Eastern province, so a very specific part of South Africa, it has to be said, plan to circumcise inmates in prisons in a bid to fight the spread of HIV infections. Health officials in, now this is going to be tricky to say, but I'm going to give it a red hot go, KwaZulu-Natal, one of the region's worst affected by the scourge of AIDS, want to circumcise 2.5 million prisoners by June 2014. They've already circumcised 148 prisoners, so given that they've set the bar at 2.5 million, they've still got a fair old way to go. And the reason for this, obviously, for those who don't, well, obviously it's not obvious, circumcision is thought to protect against the transmission of HIV within this particular province, especially in South Africa. The procedure is going to be done clinically at hospitals, and unlike in traditional methods, in some parts of the country, which is usually done by ill-trained traditional surgeons, and has actually ended up with hundreds of young boys dying each year through these circumcisions. Or if they do survive, they survive with mutilated genitals. So pretty horrific stuff. But interestingly enough, I mean, if that's not interesting enough, furthermore, religious leaders have also been encouraged to be circumcised so that they can tell their congregants to do the same. And I believe, Carlos, you have something to add to this article.
Yeah, well, look, even though there is no study so far on the effect of circumcision on minimizing HIV transmission on the risk on men who have sex with men, the recommendation of the World Health Organization and UNAIDS on the 28th of March 2007 is actually to include circumcision as a part of any HIV prevention strategies. So there you go.
Very interesting. And where did you find that information?
That was on AIDS Map.
AIDS
actually,
map.
Yes.
Which is a really fascinating, amazing website that, again, both Jason and Tex, the other two presenters who do well, they use that as a resource and a tool very often. And they really do have the most up-to-date information about HIV from all manner of things, whether it be discrimination or whether it be about medical advances in the sector or whatever. So if you're interested, AIDS Map, and I think it is just it's AIDSMap.com, and they really are seen as kind of a, I don't want to say peak body, but their reporting and their journalism into HIV related issues is second to none, really. So Carlos, thanks for adding those. Your two bits worth. Now, funnily enough, our next newsy item comes from AIDSMap.com. Do you like that as a segue? And this is a report that has, it's actually been a study which has found that people who stigmatise HIV are less likely to get an HIV test. And an international team of investigators report this in an online edition of the Journal of Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndromes. The investigators wrote that, and this is a direct quote, compared to those who had never tested, people who tested were significantly less likely to hold negative attitudes and beliefs about people living with HIV, more likely to believe people with HIV face discrimination, more likely to hold beliefs that people living with HIV should be treated equally, and more likely to believe that most people have previously tested for HIV. And stigma must be, obviously they found that stigma must be addressed in future studies looking at improving HIV testing rates in South Africa, and that's something that the authors absolutely stressed. So people were given a series of questions, and these were all related to stigma around HIV, and they were designed to see if the participants had negative attitudes towards other people with HIV. And for an example, they were asked to agree or disagree with statements such as people who have HIV are cursed and people with AIDS are disgusting. People were also asked if they thought people with HIV were discriminated against and if they believed people with HIV should be treated equally. So pretty loaded questions, really. And it's a very cultural thing, and I don't think we can sort of put our, you know, Western hats on these questions, but it makes me reflect where they're at in terms of their the sort of studies and in terms of like the gay periodic survey that we conduct every year in Melbourne. You know, the sort of way that these questions are phrased to find out if there's discrimination happening against people who are positive, they're very different. Yeah. Participants were also asked if they thought people with HIV were discriminated against, and if they believed people with HIV should be treated equally. Finally, a question was included to see if testing for HIV was perceived to be the social norm, and participants were also asked to indicate if they believed most people have been tested for HIV. The investigators, in short, concluded that it is imperative that future studies looking at ways of increasing HIV testing in South Africa address stigma.
Yeah.
So you haven't done any further research on that one, have you, Carlos?
No, I haven't. I was actually going to say that about the rapid testing over here in Australia, like, it will be, in my opinion, it will be a good idea to have it, because men who have sex with men have actually been asked what are the reasons behind not getting tested. And most of them talk about inconvenience, taking the time out and, you know, having to wait the whole week or 2 weeks that they have to wait to get the test results. So rapid testing, I think it should be in the agenda.
And that's very interesting that you mentioned that, because we actually talked about that with, I talked about that with Jason either last week or the week before on Well, here on Joy 94.9. And because obviously internationally it's become very, you know, it's the sort of flavour of the month. And that exactly that some of the things that you've just said there, they're very big reasons to get introduced rapid testing as quickly as possible. And Jason was sort of saying as a result of going to Vienna, the International AIDS Conference, that there's countries doing rapid testing in places that you wouldn't really necessarily. So parts of Eastern Europe are actually doing rapid testing. I believe it was. Don't quote me on that. And yet it's not happening here in Melbourne, Australia.
Well, you have it in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of countries already doing it. So there's reasons, I think, that we should. And to be fair, it is being looked into and being looked into very seriously and very quickly
as well.
So there's promising things there. AIDSMAP is a really good resource to find out more information about what's happening within the sector of HIV. Joining Carlos and I in the studio this evening is Sian Siddall. Now, you'll have to forgive me if I've actually said your surname wrong, Sian, from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Sian, welcome to Well, 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 and thank you for joining us this evening.
Hi, thank you.
Did I say your surname correctly?
You did, yeah.
Hurrah. Okay, well, firstly, Sian, what exactly do you do at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and how long have you been there?
Well, I do the fundraising and communications for the organisation, so pretty much all aspects of fundraising, trying to get money from the general public, and also promoting the organisation and the community as well. And I started back in July, so only a few months.
So, Sian, what led you to fundraising in the first place?
Well, I guess I was at university years ago now, and I was studying business, and I was temping during the summer, and I had a temp role for the British Red Cross back home, and I was there for about 3 months, and I just found the organisation really inspiring, and I liked the fact that you could make a tangible difference to people's lives. And so that kind of inspired me to go out and look for charity work once I'd graduated. And so I managed to get a job after that in fundraising for a cancer charity. And that cancer charity actually helped my grandfather when he was terminally ill. So it was a cause very close to my heart. So, and that was 7 years ago now. So
it's so often the case, isn't it, that people who, I know that you can't see my face because I've got a big microphone standing in front of me, that people who've been affected by a particular subject in whatever area, you know, in terms of the community sector or sort of not-for-profit sector, whatever you want to call it, when they then choose to go and work in that field, it's kind of a lead-in for some people of saying, well, this has actually personally affected me, therefore I want to go a bit beyond maybe just volunteering, which is, you know, my goodness, the Victorian AIDS Council would be lost without our amazing army of volunteers. But to actually then go and get paid employment is kind of the next step for some people, isn't it? Mm. As obviously was the case for you. But with, in terms of the Victorian AIDS Council, why did you choose to work with them / us, given that, you know, that wasn't sort of your experience on that sort of personal level?
Well, I guess at the time I was looking for a new job, and I was hoping for a new challenge. I'd been working in quite mainstream large health organisations for some time, and I wanted to try something different. And I saw the job advertised, and you know, I must admit I was guilty of being a little bit ignorant regarding HIV on a domestic scale. And it was a sort of niche of the sector that really interested me. And when I sort of looked up about the organisation, I thought it sounded fantastic, and all the work that they do is just amazing. So I thought I'd give it a go, and I was really lucky to get the job.
Hmm. Now, I can imagine, like, approaching people asking for money. It must be a really hard job to do. Now, do you find with the people that you approach that they're a little bit suspicious of organizations, or...?
I don't know if suspicious is the right word. I mean, there's been a lot of bad press over the years about how much of the dollar is actually being spent on the cause and how much is being swallowed up by administration and things. And I mean, obviously donors who give their hard-earned cash to us want to have transparency, and we have to be accountable to where we use the money. So I don't think suspicion is perhaps the right term, but I think they're definitely, you know, donors definitely demand to know where their money's being spent, which is fair enough.
And do you find that most people are kind of made aware of where that their dollars go? Or is that really if you're only sort of, you know, I give to two particular charities, and they, one of them sends me more stuff than I care to, you know, virtually daily there's something in my inbox. And the other one sort of maybe once a year I'll get an annual report or something by email, which is fine. You know, do most people find out where their dollars go, or is it a bit of a leap of faith, really?
Sort of credible organisations will obviously provide that information to the donor, and donors have the right to ask where their money is being spent. So, you know, a lot of organisations will send out communications to their donors and try and engage with them, not only to let them know where their money is being spent, but also to retain them as supporters for the future.
And are most people happy with that?
You can't please everybody, obviously. No. Some people are happy to receive lots of communications and others will complain. So it's about finding a balance, really, and getting to know your donors and how they respond to your communications.
And is there an average donor who donates to... Well, I guess... I'd say more broadly, is there an average person, like is there an average sort of trait that a person has that sort of makes them want to give money to charities more than somebody else? And then breaking that further down, is there an average donor that would give to the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre?
It is a pretty hard question. Thanks, Jill. There's lots of profiling that you can do on donors and things like that and trends. But I guess, you know, it's really sort of individual for each organisation and each cause. Certain organisations will have really loyal and quite broad supporter bases, if their cause is one that sort of affects a lot of people in the community. I mean, our cause is obviously quite specific. So with regards to who supports us, we have a lot of support from the gay community, but last year we actually undertook some activities to try and recruit new donors out in the city, and we were quite surprised that we managed to attract people from all throughout the community, not just the gay sector. So we were quite pleased with that, really.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, every time that you're like out and about or walking in the street, supermarket, or even watching TV, you get to see, you get approached and being asked to donate, and there's so many causes and good causes. How do you do to make our cause a choice, a better choice?
There are obviously hundreds of thousands of charities out there, and it's kind of difficult to say that one is more worthwhile than the other, because they all have their place in society. I think the main thing is to be honest about where the money is spent, and to be engaging with people and to try and inspire them. You know, if they have a certain perception of a cause, to try and convey key messages that will perhaps turn them around and try and inspire them into supporting you. So, yeah, it's not an easy job sometimes, but I think if you're passionate about what you do and you believe in the work that you're undertaking, then that often that will come through. So,
yeah, so that and that's the difference, isn't it? It's not the hard sell. You're not selling cars, you know, and that because I'm the most awful salesperson ever, and I can't sell ice to Eskimos. which is not a bad thing.
That will be very hard to do.
Oh, dear. No, that's the wrong expression. But I'm not going to dwell on that. But no, absolutely dreadful. But and so that's why I sort of think I would struggle in your job. But then I think, well, but then you're right. That when you're sort of, if you're passionate about something, you're not, it's not a commodity that you're selling. You're actually... what are you selling? You're not selling.
Feel good factor, really. That's what you're trying to get people to buy into. So you're trying to get people to help make a difference to other people's lives. So all they're doing is helping, really. They're not gaining anything from it.
And I guess that feel good factor goes a long way.
Yeah, for people who have a sort of, you know, a good moral conscience and a charitable heart, yeah.
And I reckon most people do, I have to say. I reckon most people are good.
I have a big heart.
You have a very big heart, Carlos. Yeah. Well, look, Sian, coming up is World AIDS Day on December the 1st. Do people ask you, and this is a fairly loaded question, do they ask you, is it still relevant? And if they do ask that, what is your response to that?
I mean, I haven't actually been asked if the campaign is still relevant. If I were asked that question, then obviously I would respond and say yes, because until the HIV epidemic is over, it is still relevant to all of us. And until there is a vaccine and a cure, then of course World AIDS Day is still relevant because there are millions of people across the planet who are affected by HIV. So, you know, of course it is still relevant, and it's relevant here in Victoria because there are two Victorians diagnosed every 3 days still. So, you know, those people obviously have loved ones who are also impacted by the virus as well. So I think it's really important that people do still see World AIDS Day as a big event in the calendar.
Mm. We've had a couple of text messages, a few SMSs in. Firstly, the first one was from Tex, who said, "I'm in full agreement. Great opening track. Happy show, Tex." Thanks, Tex. Glad you're enjoying. And also, somebody phoned to say, "You've talked a lot about raising money, but how about where it goes?" Which is a really, really good point. And it's actually in our second part of the interview process. So thank you to that caller. And we will be getting to that answer shortly. And also, Daryl called to say, somebody in the positive community. He's proud to hear someone like Sian talk about the issues, and she clearly has passion. He wanted to say thank you. So thank you very much, Daryl. So look, what we might do, Sian, is launch straight into Mystery Caller's question, which I think is extremely relevant. Which is, where will the money raised be spent?
Okay. Well,
I'll put your microphone on. There we go.
Thanks. So, all the money that we raise through World AIDS Day will be used wisely by the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. It will help across a variety of projects and programs and services, which will directly support people living with HIV in Victoria, and also with our preventative activities and projects as well, which obviously aim to reduce the transmission of HIV in the community. So they will be put to really good use, all the donations that we get.
And yeah, because I think that's the biggest thing for most people is they want, increasingly I think as well, is they want to see where their dollars going, which I think is actually reasonable.
Yeah, for sure.
You sort of go, even if you go, well, you know, the office needed a new whiteboard pen, and here it is. I mean, I know I'm making light of the situation, but you know, they do want to see that concrete kind of evidence of something. Yeah. I think,
and I think a good place to go and check out what we actually do will be our webpage.
Yes, definitely.
So,
definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot of information there about the projects and all the initiatives that we have at the moment.
Absolutely, Carlos. Now, I understand that VOC is planning something different, or is it something different this year for World AIDS Day?
Slightly different.
That's been done previously.
What we're doing this year is we have been very fortunate enough to secure a corporate sponsor, who is Vive Healthcare, a pharmaceutical company. And they have been very generous to us and in obviously supporting the campaign financially. And this has actually enabled us to be able to go out on World AIDS Day into Melbourne CBD and distribute red ribbons to the general public essentially free. Previously, we asked for a $2 standard donation, and we found that people weren't really taking that up. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of different ribbons around now. There's a lot of charities competing around that time of year. So we decided that we would try and raise awareness of HIV and have more of an emphasis on awareness than fundraising on World AIDS Day itself. So we'll be going out and handing out ribbons to the general public. If people want to make a donation, then they're obviously welcome to do so, but it's not compulsory. We would rather that people take a ribbon and wear it with pride to help us obviously acknowledge the day.
Now, fantastic.
On the evening of World AIDS Day, on the Positive Living Center, I believe there's going to be a memorial service. Can you tell us a little bit more about what is it about and for who?
The memorial service is an annual event and it's held in conjunction with a number of other HIV agencies. And essentially the event is to commemorate the people who have lost their lives to the epidemic over the years and particularly in the last 12 months. There's a number of key speakers and some entertainment as well on the evening. And the memorial shards that hang in the Positive Living Centre will be engraved with the names of those people who have lost their lives in the previous year. So it's quite an emotional event by all accounts.
It is. It's a very emotional event, having been myself, but I think at a very extremely important event.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to think that there'd be one day where we wouldn't have to have it in terms of, you know, we haven't lost a life in the last 12 months, but I think it's such an important occasion for people who from all walks of life, from you know, partners to parents to children to friends to loved ones, to be able to have that space where they can all grieve and all, but also to celebrate the fact that people are still living with HIV as well. So, and that's very much a focus of the memorial and the evening as well. Sian, if people want to get involved in whatever way they want to, well, how can they get involved? What are some of the ways that people can get involved this World AIDS Day?
Well, volunteering is a massive opportunity for people to get involved and support us. There's heaps of different ways that people can participate in volunteering for World AIDS Day, not just on the day itself, but also in the lead up to the campaign. So coming into our offices and helping out with sort of admin staff, helping us to pack up boxes of merchandise to send out. But also, obviously, on World AIDS Day, out in the CBD, giving out ribbons to the general public and having conversations with people about HIV. The ribbons that we'll be giving out this year, the back of the card actually gives some information about the HIV virus. So it's a really good opportunity for us to raise awareness and get some key messages out there as well. So,
and educate.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. So,
And how do people get in touch if they want to participate in any of the areas?
They can go onto our website. That's the best way. There's lots of information on the website about World AIDS Day. There's a specific page about World AIDS Day under the Get Involved section of the website. And there's information about volunteering. There's also information about fundraising. If people want to hold their own fundraising event or activity, you know, they could do anything from having a wear red at work day to just a gold coin collection or a sponsored walk or something like that. So there's information about organizing your own fundraising activity. There's information about having some merchandise and collecting donations for red ribbons. You could do that in your workplace or at uni or just amongst your family and friends, really. So lots of info on there.
And the website is www.vicaids.asn.au.
And also, I have to mention that there is a company, a local organisation who are fundraising for us by selling their own World AIDS Day t-shirts. That is Frat House. There'll be information on our website shortly about how people can purchase those t-shirts. So look out for them. They're really good. And $10 from each sale will go, will be split between Victorian AIDS Council and PLWHA Victoria. So they're being very generous.
Excellent.
Fantastic. That's really good news. Well, Sian, look, thank you so much for coming in. Now, some people might say, it's a bit premature. World AIDS Day is the 1st of December. We've only just hit November. But you know what? We're going to get you in again. You're chomping at the bit to come in again to the studio, aren't you? Sean, thank you so much again. It's been an absolute delight having you here.
Victoria Police are currently recruiting gays and lesbians to work with Victoria Police. For details, visit police.vic.gov.au. That's police.vic.gov.au.
Which is good, because we need more gays and lesbians. Well, people from the, you know, the alphabet community, I think, in all walks of life, not just police, but, you know. Anyway, opposites attract. Now, this is a dinner forum for couples in serodiscordant relationships, which serodiscordant meaning one person is HIV positive and their partner is HIV negative, that will provide an opportunity for participants to learn and ask questions about HIV and its impact on their relationship. Opposites Attract will be held at a restaurant in the Melbourne city area. Obviously, they don't disclose that information to everyone. The cost is $20 per person, discount available for those who are on a healthcare card, and there are limited places available. When, I hear you ask, when is this amazing meal? It's on Monday, the 22nd of November, from 7 until 9:30 p.m. To register, you can phone John on 9865 6709. That's John on 9865 6709.
Now I'm going to talk about our friends at Circuit.
Oh, they are our friends. Well, they're probably more your friends than mine, but you know.
Well, they're actually going to celebrate their third birthday, and they're having events on the 12th of November, 13th and 14th and 15th of November. So 4 days full of magnificent event.
Most people just have the one day of a birthday, hence the word birthday.
No. You have to go for 4 days.
Apparently so. when is that?
That's from Carlos? The 12th of November till the 15th of November. So plenty of activities catering for everyone.
Everyone. And I know on Sundays, without disclosing too much, that Sundays is a mixed night. Are there any mixed events that the lady folk may be able to attend? And given the grimace that you're looking at me...
Sunday 14th, I believe.
There we go.
Yes.
Sunday the 14th.
So, yeah, Sundays and Thursdays are mixed nights.
So males and friends of males.
Yes. Or everyone is welcome.
Everyone. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Momentum is a workshop for men aged 26 and over who are beginning to explore their sexuality. The workshop will provide you with a great new social network, assist you in coming out, orient you to gay world, familiarise you with the social scene and help you build relationships and self-esteem. It is recruiting now and is completely free. For information, contact Elan on 9865 6700. That's 9865 6700.
And the Contrary Awareness Network is based in Bendigo and provides information on HIV and other sexual transmitted infections for people in rural and regional Victoria. For details, visit their website can.org.au. That's can.org.au.
And Can do amazing work. I'm a big one for plugging Can and plugging the GLOWs, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers. Amazing, amazing, amazing jobs. Phoenix is a workshop where you can find the answers to questions such as what do I do now, who can I talk to if you've recently been diagnosed HIV positive. It is an opportunity for gay and bisexual men who have been diagnosed HIV positive in the past 2 years or so to learn more about living with HIV. You can meet other recently diagnosed men and share your experiences in a safe and supportive environment. You can learn strategies for managing and making sense of HIV, explore the issues around disclosure, negotiating sex and relationships. You can also find out how to maintain your sexual health and how to find out services and agencies that are available to you. Most importantly, you can make plans for the future, and confidentially is, of course, utterly assured. The next one commences, the next Phoenix workshop commences on Friday, the 3rd of December. So a week, crikey, pretty much a month from today. So 3rd from December, from 7 to 9pm, and it runs over that weekend. So to book or for more information, you can call 9865 6772. That's 9865 6772.
And PEP information line 1-800-889-887. Now, if you think you have been exposed to HIV, you have up to 72 hours to act on it. Call this telephone number. That's a PEP info line, information line. That's 1-800-889-887. Remember, 72 hours. The sooner you act, the better chances you have.
Very wise advice, Carlos. Now, I hate to say it, but our time's run out. Chicken looking. I know, it's outrageous, absolutely outrageous. But the fun just doesn't stop here on Joy 94.9, because coming up next is Theme Party with Katie, Nat and Daniel. Not entirely sure what the theme is. It might be madness and mayhem, which has been a little bit of the feel of the studio in here tonight. Now, that will also be followed by at 10pm by Hide and Seek with Dean and Travis, which is, of course, a fantastic show in and of itself. To see us out now, however, is Success by Interpol. And I have to say, I didn't actually back announce the previous track, which was I Will Follow You Into the Dark by Death Cab for Cutie. Bit morbid, really. Death Cab for Cutie, I Will Follow You Into the Dark. No matter. A lovely track. All right. Carlos, any hellos?
Hello to James and Ohad and my friends at Circuit and Delaire.
Fantastic. I'll say a big hello to Tex and Harry. All right. Seeing us out. Interpol, Success. Carlos, good night.
Night-night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.